gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Or HowSparks.com. Oh, that's right. It's Wednesday. I think I'm having a WikiLeak.
Steffi. Oh,
what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
No.
Yeah. Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Giving women everywhere WikiLeaks. Good morning, Hal.
I beg your pardon. No one has called for my assassination or my extrajudicial removal from the Netherlands.
Yeah, yes. They're calling for invasions of countries.
Yeah, yeah, we should invade a country to get that WikiLeaks guy.
Yeah, they just want to go there on a trip.
Yeah. Somebody compared it to when we got General Noriega, which
yeah,
is
totally.
Exactly the
exactly.
same thing.
Same thing.
We should send in the army for that there. I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do the show because there's a new baby chimp at the San Diego Zoo. It's the online video. Oh, Kaburi. He's 10 days old and he's a cheetah.
Mm. I thought you said chimp.
Yeah.
He's a cheetah.
You said chimp.
Chimp. I meant cheetah.
Okay. Very different
he's
animal.
He's a 10-day-old cheetah and there's online. It's the cutest baby animal.
Because you can raise a cheetah to like you. But a chimp will decide probably around when it's 23rd birthday that your face needs gnawing on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not fond of your original
jump,
face.
They will smash the window of your Tercel and pull the hood up.
Needs to give you a face transplant.
Clyde, strap the caddy.
I saw the omen. I know what goes on.
Totally, yeah.
Oh, Chris, can I have my air raid siren? The other reason I may not be able to go on with today's show. Thank God Hal's here. He might have to take over.
Uh-huh.
I got a news alert. Do you get these, Chris? You get various news alerts in your inbox from various organizations.
They tend to come from right-wing organizations.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, when I got this news alert yesterday from the Catholic League.
Oh, God.
Oh, you know, that's important because they've been batting horribly this season.
Yeah. Well, could you take out your organ for me? Because I don't. This is a. There are some things in your life, Hal. It's hard. It's a hole that you just can't fill again. When there's a gaping hole. In your life, that you just, I didn't know what to do yesterday. It says, news alert from the Catholic League, due to the victory in having the Smithsonian remove the obscene video of Jesus being eaten by ants,
what?
Bill Donahue's scheduled appearance on Fox and Friends has been canceled.
Oh my God.
How do you fill that hole in entertainment? That's akin to Leslie Nielsen leaving us. How do you fill the hole? What was I supposed to do with that time where I was going to watch Bill Donahue on Fox and Friends talking about Jesus being eaten by ants?
Jesus being eaten by ants.
There's a video of Jesus being eaten by ants.
There is?
No.
They didn't
Bill Donahue and the Catholic League stopped it.
Bill Donahue.
Yes.
I thought you said Phil Donahue.
But they didn't have video equipment back when Jesus was alive.
It was an art thing.
Art
installations that
involve
Jesus are always bad. This is what we know. And this is why the main reasons why we need to defund the National Endowment for the Arts is always because someone is using the baby Jesus and covering him in duct tape or you know, doing a painting of Jesus, you know, eating an egg sandwich, you know, and going, that's just not proper. That's not appropriate at all. Look at these pictures of Jesus.
An egg sandwich would just smell.
It would. It would just stink the place up. No comment.
Speaking of which, a lot of people on the Hal stream want to know. When we videocast every morning, people want to know what I'm eating.
Right.
As I shovel food into my mouth. It's very attractive.
Yes.
Oh, the burping that follows is the impressive part.
Because you shovel it so fast into your mouth, burping ensues.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say chewing.
Chewing might cut down the burping.
Sure.
I'm eating Brussels sprouts this morning, which is a little pungent. Just be happy
it
at
smells like it.
Be happy at HowSparks.com. This is not in the scratch and sniff.
Smell-o-vision. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not. I was going to compete with her this morning. I was going to, you know, they have, you can get an egg, broccoli, and poo Breakfast sandwich.
And you opted not to?
Yeah. You opted for the bear claw.
I avoided.
You got the bear claw.
I opted for a pastry, so
I
not
know.
To.
He always kids me. I thought he was Mr. Healthy, and he has some sort of...
Pastry. Yeah.
And I have Brussels sprouts, and you said I have the palate of a 12-year-old boy.
Well, that's I wouldn't say a 12-year-old boy.
12-year-old boy wouldn't eat Brussels sprouts and bring them in leftover the next day.
You know what?
Day.
I would say a 3-year-old dog. And because my Thanksgiving sauerkraut recipe was such an enormous hit... It's StephanieMiller.com. Can I have my recipe music? And, you know, I've been hanging out with celebrity chefs here and there, and I think I'm going to give out my Brussels sprout recipe.
Oh, thank God.
It's my friend's, but I stole it.
Nobody eats Brussels sprouts on purpose.
It's delicious. Okay, so you wash them, you cut them in half.
That's the good start. All right, that's an improvement over the other recipes.
Yes.
Washing them.
Okay. Mix it with...
I'm with you.
Olive oil, salt, and pepper. Here's the key is maple syrup.
What?
A little bit of maple syrup.
That's stupid.
Olive oil. Do you mind? Olive oil, salt, and pepper. Listen, this is a cancer-fighting vegetable, Brussels sprouts. As is sauerkraut. I'm helping. I'm a helper. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cut it in half. Okay. What did I say? You're throwing me off.
If you singe sauerkraut, that's cancer-causing.
Olive oil, salt, and pepper, and a little bit of maple syrup. You mix it all up in a bowl, and then you put it out on a baking sheet. Bake it at 400 for a half an hour or so. Delicious. They're like candy. Ow!
How did you come up with this recipe?
I wonder if the baby cheetahs eat Brussels sprouts.
No, they don't. Well, they do. Actually, I take that back. They do by one layer, I would suppose, because they tend to
feast on... If a gazelle has eaten
Brussels sprouts
first.
It has been nibbling on Brussels sprouts right at the time it was attacked and gnawed on by the baby cheetahs.
Oh, so cute.
Yeah.
Or for instance, I or Roy Horn has just eaten Brussels sprouts. Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
But there's so many gazelles in Brussels, Belgium.
All right. Let's move on.
That's not where they come from.
Oh,
that's
a total. Yeah. All right. Misnomer.
Okay. Yes. Let's move on to the breaking news. It is not breaking news to Hal and I, if you've been listening to us for years. Mm-hmm. About Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Robert Gates is stealing your act. He made the exact same points that you've been making.
I know. They've been listening to me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
About Don't Ask, Don't Tell. This is why. I mean, how much clearer can this be? Mm-hmm. This study has come out overwhelmingly in support of overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
92%.
But Robert Gates makes the same argument that you've been making. This is why we need to do it this way and not through the courts.
Right.
Because whatever John McCain or whatever asshats are worrying about, that's how it would happen. And it will be overturned by a court. It'll have to be enacted the next day.
Yep.
Without being able to have the military do it on their own terms. And so I understand what I heard somebody this morning saying that I think there is a chance, although it's just hard to tell. You've got Lindsey Graham and others saying there's no chance, there's no votes, it's not going to happen. And it's like.
And you've got Joe Lieberman saying there's actually more than 60 votes.
Yeah.
We lose a couple of Democrats, and, you know, in that rock solid majority that we've had this whole time, that Obama should be getting more done because he had a majority in the beginning. In and amongst those are the Ben Nelsons of the world who are...
Oh, the Mark, what's his name? What's his name? Yeah. Pryor? Who's the guy?
Yeah, Mark Pryor. Pryor.
But he's a Democrat.
He's a Democrat.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're Dems who won't...
He basically
want
did the Focus on the Family talking points on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks, conservative Dems.
Did you hear what McCain's thing was? Look, let's wait till the survey gets done. We're going to wait till they get it done. Let's see what the generals on the ground
have to say. Oh, my God. You're doing the most eerily accurate impression of his upper body when he talks.
We'll do it. And then they did the whole review, and he went, it's the wrong review. That's the wrong study. They asked the wrong questions. And the question was, he goes, his big problem was they didn't ask specifically, do you support repeal? Well, got news for you. It's not about whether you support it or not, because if it becomes law, it becomes an order, and therefore you don't ask the troops.
People have made that point. When do we poll the troops? That's the whole point of the army. Is you do
what you're told in that regard.
Do you think we should go this way or that way?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, let's take a vote.
Here are the questions that I think should be in there. Do you think Reveille should be replaced with show tunes? If Marines have to bunk together, should they do it in stacks like a Pez dispenser? If you're for or against it, check this box. I think that's essentially what he was hoping for. He really did want it to be as homophobic a question as possible, just to drive the answer in that way.
Yes.
So, so clearly, the soldiers who are a lot younger than the generals over them are way ahead of this issue anyways.
Yeah, I mean, look at some of these numbers. 92% of the military stated their unit's ability to work together with a gay person was very good, good, or neither good nor poor. I mean, you know, and 70%, essentially the basic question, 70% of service members said they would be able to work together to get the job done with gay service members in their immediate units. 69%, which clears is very close to 70.
I've heard.
Said they would they worked in a unit with a coworker they believed was homosexual already. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, what changes here? Nothing.
When you've got 69%, that's a consensus.
Yeah.
That means both people agree.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. You. Yes, that was the breaking news, in case you hadn't heard. In a press conference, we're announcing the results of the Pentagon's 10-month... And we needed 10 months, really? And that's still not enough for John McCain. 10-month review of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
10 months.
Secretary of Defense.
Military's been around for 240 years.
Robert Gates, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Admiral Mike Mullen. All of the people that John McCain originally said when they told him this was time, he would be time. I mean, how disingenuous is this? You know damn well if this had been under Republican president, under Bush, McCain would have been fine with it.
Totally. That, you know, and the other thing is when are we going to get these commanders off the ground?
And by the way, Robert Gates was under Bush. He was the Republican defense secretary under Bush.
Yep. They liked him then.
Yes.
They listened to him then.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
They concluded the risk of repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell on overall military effectiveness is low, and Gates even urged Congress to act on repeal before the courts overturn the policy. He stole that from Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Because people, you know, we've been trying to talk liberals off the ledge for a while, like the whole, you know, the president should buy executive order and he should blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And this is why the administration was fighting it. When people were like, oh, my God, I can't believe the administration. It's because this is what would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
There would have been the perception this was getting shoved down the military's throats.
Yep.
By a court and, you know, without time to implement it properly.
The next president could have walked in, rescinded that order on moral grounds, as they would, and everybody who came out of the closet, everybody who'd been in the service for the years since it had been, you know, repealed by executive order, would immediately be outed, would have to leave the service, would probably be denied their pensions, It has to be done on a legislative level.
Fine American, Robert Gates, who, again, right under George Bush and wrong now, apparently.
Yeah.
Said, now that we have completed this review, I strongly urge the Senate to pass this legislation and send it to the president for signature before the end of this year. It is only a matter of time before the federal courts are drawn once more into the fray, with the very real possibility this change would be imposed immediately by judicial fiat, by far the most disruptive and damaging scenario I can imagine, and the one most hazardous to military morale, readiness, and battlefield performance. This is a national security issue, and it's got to be framed that way. He added, resistance to repeal was driven by misperceptions and stereotypes. And then, you know, the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, and ironically, you always think, oh, well, they always say the conservative is much more military or conservative than the general public. These are the exact same numbers as the general public, 70%.
Yep.
Think it should be overturned.
Exactly. And that, you know, and that 30% is a very hard line group. Who've been against it for a long time. And if you're reliant on any of them getting into a position of power where they can rescind a law very quickly, then you leave everybody serving at their whim. And it shouldn't be that way. The Congress should enact a law that specifically repeals this.
Yep.
And that's what's actually happening. That's, you know, apparently the votes are there. There's some Dems who are against it, classic blue dogs. Some of them are on the way out. But
well,
so we'll see.
All right. Your thoughts and ours on this 1-800-STEP-12. Lots to get to on this and much more 20 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Hal continues on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Cooking Show, 25 minutes after the hour. I was eating a roasted chestnut, everybody in the chat room. It was not a turkey testicle. Thank you, Hal Sparks, video streamers, whatever.
They were just concerned. At this point, it seems you will cook anything.
Well, and I gave one to Chris, and apparently I didn't spice it properly. Who even knew?
Well, no.
All you do is roast it under an open fire.
It was
while
delicious.
Jack Frost nips at your something.
Okay, first of all, there was no open fire. You did this on your
my oven.
Yeah.
You were there this weekend when I did them.
You have a fireplace. Couldn't you, like, roast them over your fire?
I'll just put them in the oven. They're fine.
Chestnuts baking at 325.
Doesn't sound as good.
No.
Hot chocolate made from a package.
I did not realize that you could spice them. I didn't know how you got it inside the thing.
Mm-hmm. You sprinkle it on after they've burst open.
Popped open. Sorry. Round two.
Apologize.
But what kind of spice? Do you use sweet spices like cinnamon and nutmeg, or do you use savory spices?
I'm going to go with savory.
Okay.
Because it's a sweet-ish nut, but not fully. Yeah.
Listen, more importantly, 55 years ago today, Rosa Parks refused to move from the back of the bus. And I said it's time for the gay troops to stand up. It's time for all of us to stand up in honor of... That's it.
Yes. I was with you on that. That was amazing.
Thanks.
You were totally, the way you were gesturing and
Thanks.
Everything on radio is awesome.
All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dave in Weaverville, North Carolina. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Good, go ahead.
All right, listen, man, I'm sorry to change the subject, but I'm just really just kind of beside myself that Republicans are refusing to add to the deficit for the 99ers.
Right.
Yet, there's no commitment to raise taxes on the richest, or, you know, they don't want to raise taxes on the richest 1%, and, you know, they don't want to add that to the deficit. Yeah. And, man, this is coming
Dave,
from
it,
somebody
it's, you know, as somebody said, it's not, yeah, it's not politics, it's math. And it's like, if we can't even agree on facts, these are not opinions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the numbers you're quoting are cold, hard facts as to what it's going to add to the deficit and what, you know, and what economists believe it's done to the economy in general. It's just,
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that considering millionaires will be affected by this particular tax readjustment, which is basically going back just to the 90s, it's under 5% difference. Not, you know, they're acting like they're going to the 90% tax rate of the 20s or something. The most, if not, I think it's actually all, I'm going to correct myself on the air, all senators serving currently are millionaires.
Yeah.
At least technically.
So they're giving themselves a bailout.
Yeah, I'm guessing that it's going to be hard to get that particular tax issue passed a bunch of people who know they will be directly affected by it.
Yeah.
You know, there might be people in the House who go, I don't make that kind of money. I think the middle class needs that kind of a break. But none of the senators have a real impetus in their tax bracket to do anything about this.
Yeah, but to me, that is patently anti... It's un-American, in my opinion.
I agree.
You know? I mean, you should pay your fair share. This is America. And
if you
want America to remain great, you pay your share.
Look,
is all.
The wealthy among us use more of the commons than the people who don't. The people who make $50,000 a year or even $200,000 a year use the same four roads, the same two grocery stores, the same movie theater. In general, do one vacation
a
year.
Well, that's why a lot of these, whatever you want to call them, whether they're progressive, liberal, whether it's Warren Buffett, have more credibility on this because, you know, they're going to be harmed financially under this. But they believe it's for the greater good, for the common good.
Yep.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
If in the middle of the night I start acting enormously upset, I don't want you to ask me what's wrong. Is that okay with you?
Actually, that's my preference.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I hope you enjoyed the softcore porn during the break on the HowlCam.
On the Ustream.
Yes.
He sits behind me and makes me all flustered. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
And if people are sitting in their cars, they could have watched it on the Ustream iPhone app.
Yeah, the Hal Sparks iPhone app
that you
can get at the perfect gift for the holidays.
We gnawed on each other a little bit.
It's true.
Although he did call you clammy.
He's a little man snack.
It's not the first time I've been called that, minus the little.
Okay, Defense Secretary Robert Gates yesterday talking about don't ask, don't tell.
If the Congress of the United States repeals this law, this is the will of the American people. And you are the American military. And we will do this. And we will do it right.
Yeah, exactly. You will. The idea that basically John McCain is arguing for the incapacity of the military, that the military is incapable of dealing with something like gay soldiers. This is essentially the essence of his argument, is that our soldiers can take attacks by Al-Qaeda. They can fight in the worst physical environments, 107-degree heat with no... like zero humidity, but they can handle that, but they can't handle...
It would be interesting for him to tell us, like, as you said, what the right study is. Maybe they could just poll people in the Palin family and see what they... Maybe that would be the correct study.
You betcha.
Oh, you think the F words for gay men shouldn't be able to serve? Okay. All right, then. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Willow.
Yeah.
And friends.
These are people who will release policy on their Facebook page.
Yeah.
Which is okay if you're Paris Hilton, but not if you're a potential 2012... presidential candidate.
President Obama calling on the Senate to act to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell. In a statement yesterday, he said the new Pentagon survey confirms that most of the military don't have a problem with serving alongside gay service members. He said it's time for Congress to end what he calls a discriminatory policy. The House, of course, has already acted. The Pentagon survey determined, obviously, that the overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell might cause some disruption at first, but would not create any widespread or long-lasting problems. Obama said he was absolutely confident that U.S. troops could adapt to the change and remain the best fighting force in the world. Mm-hmm. I was hearing some rumors, Chris, were you, that the president is going to announce somebody fairly significant today that's supporting the policy, and I don't know, a Republican.
I hadn't heard that rumor.
That's the speculation I heard.
Okay, well then I'll be looking forward to that.
Well, there are many, by the way, including Richard Lugar. Oddly enough, John Ensign. A supporter of repeal.
And oddly, Lindsey Graham not.
Hmm. Huh. Noticing the we know for whatever it's worth that John Ensign is straight.
Yes.
His dalliances have proved this unequivocally.
Time and time again.
Yeah. And again, doesn't have that reaction, that knee jerk homophobic reaction
right.
to it.
Alan,
Lindsey Graham not so much.
Yeah, weird. Alan in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Alan.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was in the Army for 4 years. I don't care. I mean, I don't care what people do, but my question is the whole realm of the politically correct going to, like, enter a foxhole in Afghanistan? Or what about base housing? Are two men going to get passed over for base housing for a family? I mean, for a man and a woman family?
Wait,
oh, I see what you mean. Like, on base housing, when you have, well, it depends on the domestic partnership rights
right.
in that particular state, more than likely, where the base is, because federal, that can't, like, supersede, federal law can't supersede that aspect of it, I think. It may be different on bases themselves.
What about gay jokes? What if two guys sit in a foxhole, one guy tells a gay joke? Are you going to pull those guys off the line for sexual harassment?
No, but you are actually going to have – but the soldiers among them might call them out on it in the same way that a racist joke would be anti-morale, wouldn't you say?
A racist
if somebody,
joke?
No, literally.
A racist joke between two. Who? Two black men or two white men?
Didn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So if two black men tell a racist joke between them or say the N-word between them, should they be taken
Well, it's different
off?
When it is clearly different when you
Alan,
address yourself.
First of all, what are you talking about? Since when has anyone ever been pulled out of the military for telling a joke?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Of course you can be kicked out of the military for telling a joke.
When has that happened?
It happened on Buddy Mike.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
What happened?
What joke did he tell?
He told a black joke. I don't know the specifics.
Okay, so he was pulled out for
he was
racism.
Kicked out of the military?
Yes, he is. Yes, out of the Army.
He was kicked out of the Army just for telling a racist joke.
Hmm. You bet. I'm not trying, but have you guys ever been deployed forwardly? It's not. People join the military to serve the country. God bless them all. God bless them. There's gay people protecting my freedoms right
there
now.
There certainly are.
Okay, and they were when I was in there too. I don't have a beef against gay people. Mm-hmm. I don't care. But what I'm saying is they want to.
Right. So how is this an outbreak of political correctness
You don't think that's going to enter the arena of this whole argument or this whole issue?
Well, if your story is correct, then I apparently the Army's already been inflicted with political correctness. If your buddy got
it's
kicked
the
out
same
for
policy,
being racist.
It's the same policy that would be attached to race.
And if a gay couple who has been together together for years and years and years in a committed relationship, if they apply for base housing, yes, they should be able to get
it. How committed? How many years?
Well, the other thing is, it depends on, again, if marriage is a possibility, but if you've got couples on the military base who are not married but live together, then the same applies relationship wise to them as it would to a gay couple.
Housing. They don't get base housing.
Well, then gay couples wouldn't get base housing in that regard.
Which is why we need gay marriage.
If that's the law of the land, that's the law of the land. But it's not. So you think this is going to be just nice and easy? And
no, nobody said that.
Nobody.
As a matter of fact, that's why they did a 10-month study on how to implement it, not whether it should. The process. And that's why they're saying they're going to take the time necessary to do it correctly.
You know, believe it or not, the military doesn't do everything correctly. I don't know if you served in the military, but trust me, they don't. If you've been to a VA lately.
What kind of illusion of perfection do you think we live in that would be my concern at all?
Exactly. Alan, what's wrong with the VA? That's generally considered to be the best healthcare system we have.
Oh, please. Come on.
Okay.
I know a lot of vets who can go to the VA and get it paid for and don't, and pay for it out of their own pocket. So please don't tell me that the VA.
Okay,
the
well,
VA,
that's.
Okay, so basically, your argument is your concern. Your concern that people are. Did we lose him?
Yeah.
Yes, we lost him on accident.
Because the argument was so circular.
Yeah, yes. We were just ping-ponging around different issues there.
Yeah.
I'm not. Nobody's denying that maybe somebody has not had the best experience. Obviously, there were abuses at Walter Reed and other places. But
well, I don't understand
general,
the concept that he's arguing is essentially that what if we have to hold people to the standard when talking about gay people that they have to on race? Yeah, so. I mean,
Who else has served in the military is Robert Gates, defense secretary.
The findings suggest that for large segments of the military, repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, though potentially disruptive in the short term, would not be the wrenching, traumatic change that many have feared and predicted.
Yeah, it is kind of ironic that 55 years ago today was, the Rosa Parks.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you kind of go, yes, it was probably disruptive to white people. What? Black people get to sit? What?
Yeah.
What? Huh? Yes, it might have been disruptive in the short term to white people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably obviously still disruptive to Rand Paul. What is this black person doing next to me?
Right.
I'm trying to eat lunch here.
Right. They have a sign. Can't you see the sign? Yeah, that's for historical reasons, sir. Do we hold it up there? Because
that's an artifact.
Yes, you're in a museum.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, it's the cafe at the...
See, it's the Woolworths counter.
They rebuilt it in the Smithsonian. I come here eat every day because I thought that I could just without... But they're... Here.
Hey, I know. Man. Let's ask the asshat that yelled "You lie" at the President of the United States during a State of the Union what he thinks.
I think this is not the time with a lame duck Congress with dozens of people who have been defeated.
You lie! Douche nozzle.
No, this is exactly the time.
Yeah. Well, the interesting
thing...
What
the hell does that have to do with it? Oh, I see. Because let's wait till we get new homophobes in here.
Right. We just elected a bunch of new homophobes that were pretending to not care. And we're hoping that when they get in... The interesting thing is, calling all Tea Partiers, if you're really the libertarians you say you are...
Yeah.
Then this is one of those areas, interestingly enough, where there's a lot of crossover with the Democrats and the Tea Party.
Government out of our lives.
Yeah, you want government out of your business.
Out of your bedroom.
Yeah.
Andrea in West Palm Beach, hello.
Hi, Ann.
Hello, baby.
I wasn't sure if you all had heard this after McCain came out with his little various straw man arguments. I think one of the things he said yesterday after the press conference was that apparently he doesn't really take apparently, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, he doesn't take what Gates said as seriously or his opinion apparently as much because apparently he didn't serve in the military, which is wrong. He did serve in the military. He served in the Air Force.
That's right.
Yeah.
He was an officer in the Air Force.
He's having another senior moment in a long series of.
I know.
Or
he's just a nasty bag of ass.
Yeah, he actually served in the exact same branch that McCain served in.
Oddly.
Yes.
Gates did mention by name the most passionate defender of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, John McCain. McCain has said the study is not comprehensive enough.
Mm-hmm. They didn't ask anything about whether or not Judy Garland would be now singing the national anthem.
They didn't ask everybody who was 70 or above.
Yeah, right. Who grew up in a more homophobic time.
Yeah.
Instead of these inclusive times.
McCain and other backers of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, of course, face a dilemma now. How to keep making their case when not merely influential military leaders, but rank and file soldiers appear to have no serious problem with gays serving openly. McCain's approach has been, of course, to say the study is it's wrong. It's not adequate. It's Gates said, in this respect, I think he's mistaken. This does provide a sound basis for drawing conclusions on this this law. It's hard for me to imagine that you could come up with a more comprehensive approach than the one they did.
The key phrase there being he did call McCain out by name and say he is mistaken. Very direct.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Gates and Chief of Staff Admiral Michael Mullen were unequivocal in the recommendation that Congress repeal the policy to avoid a disruptive and sudden transition they fear may be handed down by a federal judge. More than two-thirds of the survey troops say they are fine with serving alongside openly gay comrades. The study also lays out a comprehensive transition process involving leadership training and education that the Pentagon is confident will be fairly painless, which it seems to me like this is what John McCain has been arguing for.
Yep.
And, okay.
Well, that's because he didn't want it. He thought it would never actually happen. This illusion that they wanted any kind of repeal, and they basically just keep throwing up walls, hoping, you know, different hurdles, hoping they can't cross it. And then as they cross it, you throw up more.
Yeah,
because
move the goalposts again. If most of the service chiefs back up the study and support the conclusion that Congress should end the policy before the courts do, they're saying it'll be politically impossible for McCain to maintain his stance. But, you know, he's a nasty, stubborn little bag of ass.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll see what happens. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, Beau Shizzle, 51 minutes after the hour.
What? Too busy dancing to do radio. That's what you were doing. She was getting into it.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. As Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues apace, we've been talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I love the, who said the thing that they predicted, what's his name, one of the Joint Chiefs said, predicted lifting the ban would not result in a mass coming out of gay troops. We believe that most would continue to be private and discreet about their personal lives. I mean, that's the other thing, is they just, what did they just picture, like 24/7 raves with glow sticks?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, people just go about their lives and their jobs. Yeah. It's like, you know, big deal.
Yeah, Jess was saying, one of our chatters was saying, by the way, whose birthday it is today, happy birthday, Jess, was saying, what do they think, people are going to start dyeing their uniforms pink or bedazzling their guns because, you know, it's like, yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Right.
Oh, my God.
They're all going to wear that hat Aretha Franklin wore at the inauguration.
Exactly.
Oh, my God,
the Chinese, the Chinese know we're attacking. How? Well, they can hear the beat. Coming over the hill. Like a modernization of the Scots.
One service member was quoted in the survey as saying, we have a gay guy in the unit. He's big, he's mean, and he kills a lot of bad guys. No one cares that he's gay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You notice, it's interesting to me. You notice they have no problem believing that a lot of serial killers along the lines of Jeffrey Dahmer and John Wayne Gacy were homosexual. And yet they somehow also...
They're not tough enough to be in the army, though.
Right. That's the irony, that you can have it in sort of civilian gays.
Yes.
They're
and then
tough.
If the women are too tough and dykey, then you can't have that
you
either.
You can't have them in there.
It's not
for everybody.
Gays
you
kill people,
really,
too.
You need a lot of really girly girls in the army.
Guns
that's what
don't
you
kill people. Gays with guns kill people.
Yeah, it makes no sense, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, women that are too tough, no, you can't.
What's this, sir? We found a body laying in the sand.
You need a woman that would rather be twirling a parasol than an AK-47. Oh, I broke a nail. I can't go into battle, pardon me. Let's go to Bill in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Hal. Hi,
hello.
Hiya.
I want to comment on the tax cuts, but first of all, I got to tell Chris and congratulate him on his infectious laugh.
Oh.
When he breaks out a strong laugh, it just underlines how funny you guys really are.
Thank you. There's no penicillin for that.
But I've been listening to you guys since the first day you've been on the mic here in Madison, which I think is about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow, yes.
Woo-hoo.
Nice long run. We appreciate it every day.
Thank you.
You
say run as if it's going to be over soon. What have you heard?
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, okay.
Are we going to get taken over by women's basketball again?
Sometimes they do in the evenings. They break into volleyball and basketball.
Okay.
Okay.
I think it's an old contract they have to honor because of the tough times they went through when they were almost kicked off the air entirely.
Ah, all right,
but
Bill.
But you're back to stay, and I know it's going to stay for a long, long, long time, and it's so great.
Thank you,
anyway,
baby. Go ahead.
On to my comments, the tax cuts. First of all, we can't extend the Bush tax cuts, of course, because they end in December. And I think that's a Republican talking point to keep this extending the Bush tax cuts. We're really going to enact the Obama tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there
and
you go. Yep.
The main point there is everybody's screaming about $3 of additional taxes for every $100 of new net taxable income above $250,000.
Right.
And that's not a burden. Nobody's talking about that.
Well, and also, yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's, again, net above that $250,000. And you, like, you're really pushing up into the, like, million-a-year zone as far as, like,
right.
people who are incorporated pulling in on their own personal, what they give to themselves specifically in cash as salary, over $250,000. You have to make close to $750,000 before that actually happens if you're incorporated in any way and you're actually running your own business. That they want everybody to think it's this attack on entrepreneurship and small business in the middle class to this wedge, and it's so not.
But, yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. this is just another edition of Boo Conservadems. Okay. Mark Pryor. This is what we were talking about. Mark Pryor, Democrat of Arkansas. He's one of only two Democrats to support a Republican filibuster of Don't Ask, Don't Tell back in September.
Right.
He said he will vote against any bill that includes a repeal of the policy, and then he went into his Focus on the Family talking points.
Mm-hmm.
He said he considers homosexuality a sin and is concerned where gay troops would be housed. Maybe they wouldn't be separate housing, like lepers, something like that is what
right.
he's hoping for. We live in a society where we accept other people's lifestyles, so I don't want to be judgmental.
No, not at all.
I just
want them
live
sequestered.
In different houses.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I just want them away from me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want sinners housing and then regular people housing. Still, he voiced concerns that a repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell might make life harder for the chaplains. That's the important thing. Now...
Think about the chaplains.
What impact does that have on the chaplains?
What?
Wow. These are essentially the talking points of Focus on the Family, which has been classified a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law.
I've got news for him. There are, you know, LGBT-friendly churches as well.
Uh-huh.
What?
Is he not aware of this?
They're not real ones, though.
Those are
the ones that have social justice that Glenn Beck warned us about.
Okay.
Those are the fruity churches.
Yeah, they're not the same.
Eric in South Toledo, Ohio. Hello, Eric.
South Toledo, California.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes.
As a squad member in Vietnam, my platoon leader was gay, and I'm still here.
Yeah, right.
You survived, yeah.
Yeah. He was a very good officer. He knew the difference between a good order and a bad order, orders that would have killed you. He did not obey or conveniently forgot to obey. He treated us as basically men that he had to look out for. He went away. When you're in battle, you're not really worried about if you're in a foxhole and the battle is raging, you're not worried about the guy next to you wanting to do something to you. You're more worried if you have the spare magazine than you are about him wanting to have oral sex with you.
Thank you, Eric. Exactly. A foxhole is the only hole the gay soldiers want to get into.
Stop it.
What? By the way, he either had a really bad phone or he was calling us from under his pillow so his mom wouldn't hear or something. That was very muffled.
He might have actually been calling from Vietnam in 1971.
Yeah, that could be.
Marvin in Cleveland real quick. Hey, Marvin.
Still impressive.
Hi. First of all, everything Sarah Palin is and stands for, I find vulgar and obscene. Just a little thing, though. I drive in every day, listen to you. I love the show.
Thanks.
I've heard you guys bash the Willow Palin kid, and I just think, let's leave it at adults. You know, she's a know-nothing. That's how teens talk, believe it or not.
Oh, really? You know, it's okay for all teens to call other kids the F-word for gay men.
I've read the transcripts. It's one or two times. Believe me, sons and daughters of progressives talk the same way. Let's leave it at the adults and keep that.
I disagree.
I disagree.
Yeah,
and that's
totally
why a lot of gay kids are killing themselves. So, no, it's not okay.
You set a standard.
Yes, thank you. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Hal Sparks is here. It's Hump Days with Hal.
Yes.
And we are video streaming on HalSparks.com. Keith emails. Oh, this is a. We've been talking about, obviously, the overturn of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Interesting to see where everyone comes down. This Keith writes, Steph, please find a shorter way to say the F word for gay man, or just say the word itself when quoting people who use it. I feel that using terms like the N word or the laborious F word for gay man hides the ugliness of these words. Perhaps we've gone too far, and it would be better for the ugliness to be out there for all to see. When quoting people who are using it as a slur, like Palin's daughter, I feel it's useful to quote them directly. They said it for real, let their ugliness be exposed, not hidden behind long-winded euphemisms.
You're such a fig.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jim. I disagree. That's why we.
I think.
Although, if I wanted to, my show just exclusively on satellite, I could just scream the F word repeatedly during this debate.
I think person to person. I think there's something to be said for that argument when you're talking when you're broadcasting. The removal of that word from the broadcasting sphere is a smart thing to do because it just.
Well, I don't think there's any instance it's okay for a white person to use the. I just don't.
No.
And I think there's too many gay kids killing themselves because that word is used so repeatedly. So I'm not. I get your point. But no.
Computer says no.
Okay.
Well, there was a big brouhaha over Mark Twain having used the N-word in his books, and they wanted to ban Mark Twain, which is absurd. But, you know, he was reflecting the way people talked in those days.
Defense Secretary Gates yesterday said the president will be watching very closely to make sure we don't dawdle or try to slow roll this, which is exactly what they're trying to do. Lindsey Graham, ironically. Said Tuesday the fact that the House and the Senate Armed Services Committee approved the repeal before Congress could consider the Pentagon report really didn't go down well with him.
Interesting choice of words.
I thought it didn't go down well on him.
On whom?
That's what he said. It didn't go down well.
On who?
Him.
I used the wrong. You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable and I heard it wrong.
No, exactly. Pardon me.
Oh, my God.
Perhaps if someone did it correctly, he could change his mind.
Yes,
I don't know.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Hey!
What?
Don't
insinuate.
Exactly. You were commenting on, it is hilarious if you go to certain shows in Vegas.
Oh, man. The gayest shows will be full of the most, like, the chubby Midwesterners who normally are the 30% that vote against gay rights and women's rights and minority rights and whatnot, and they'll be watching a gay black man from France doing a triple, you know, Lindy.
Cirque du Soleil,
being tossed.
Or Siegfried and Roy.
Right,
actually from Quebec.
And just going, this is the most, with tears streaming down their faces. Love animals more than they.
Chris made the analogy that, you know, back in the day, of course, a lot of people didn't like black folks much, but boy, they sure can entertain us.
They loved a minstrel show. Absolutely. It's stunning. It's stunning, like the disconnect. And that
I watched, I remember going to Cirque du Soleil years ago, being in front of a well-fed Midwestern couple, and they just, the lights, you know, came up after the show, and the guy goes, I like them bendy Asian chicks. All right, let's go eat. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like them bendy girls. Bendy Asians is good.
Yes, they do.
All right, let's go.
Not only are they racist, homophobic, and sexist, but they tend to end sentences with prepositions. When will it end?
That's just something up with which I will not put.
Where the buffet at? All right. Let's go to Todd in Reno. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Todd.
Todd.
Sorry.
Hello.
Hi, Todd.
Not that Todd.
Or as Sarah Palin would say, Todd! Yes.
Either way, it's all good.
All right.
I just wanted to comment about the politicians trying to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Clearly don't have the military's best interests in mind, and ultimately they don't have the country's best interests in mind. They're looking out after their own political careers. And
well, I love that they're trying to they're trying to tell the military what's good for the military when the military just told them what's good for them.
Exactly, and, yeah. And by not looking out for that, you know, they don't have anybody else's best interest in mind. It's selfish. It's greedy, and yep. It's their own political power that they're after, and that's all they're trying to protect.
Remember the 8 years of the Bush administration? We got told every day we hated the troops and we hated America, and what do you call this? You're explicitly going against what the military is asking you to do.
And then they sit there and try to cover it up by saying, it's the will of the American people. Well, they're so disconnected from the American people, they don't know what that is anymore.
Yeah. Well, and they tried to spin this, right? They're like, who cares what the American people? Let's ask the military what they think. The number's exactly the same. 70%.
Higher.
Yeah. Higher in some places.
Turns out the military are the American people.
Yeah.
Lunch.
Yeah. A lot of Americans in the military. Most people don't know that. A lot of almost the majority, I would say. I don't know what the exact statistics are, number of Americans in the American military.
Yes.
But I'm going to guess it's
high
pretty
percentage,
high. Yeah.
D'Artagnan in Jacksonville, Florida.
D'Artagnan,
hello.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, D'Artagnan, like the Musketeer.
Yeah. Yes. Impressive.
Yeah, thank you.
Athos and Porthos couldn't make it.
No, they did not. But I wanted to just bring to light some things, basically, earlier when a lot of times when we're speaking about gay rights, you know, you'll bring up the fact that, you know, well, black people this or gay people. The basic definition of discrimination, I believe, the two you can apply it to both. But with black people, you kind of make light of it. You made the reference to the Woolworth counter. The reason why I say this, I was served 8 years in the military. I knew plenty of gay guys in the military. I had no problems. You know, I'm all for it. Hey, go for it. But you made the reference to the Woolworth counter. Like Stephanie in particular.
Yes.
You could go, you know, almost what
the hidden concept, the idea that gay people can hide, but black people could not. So the more overt aspect of the obvious racism is clearly defined, whereas homophobia or heterocentric behavior is not. Therefore, you can pretend not to be gay and still serve in the military, and that's the basis of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
And then
the problem is it becomes a violation of...
Hang on, but where do the gay people that can't hide, what category do they fall in? Because there are obviously...
No, it's not the gay people that hide. Basically, you made the reference of the Woolworth counter. Now,
sure.
Say, for instance, yourself...
Was a specific reference to the fact that Rand Paul made the point that if businesses want to discriminate against people based on race, they should be allowed to. That particular politician is now in office and will apply his particular prejudice across the board, not just racially, but also in regard to sexual orientation and gender in a lot of cases.
But speaking about brown people, I can't get up in the morning and walk out and say, am I gonna let somebody know that I'm brown or not? No, they know that I'm brown the instant they see me. Stephanie in particular, who, you know, you just came out, you know, and I applaud you for it. Nobody would necessarily know. You could actually walk into the Woolworth, walk into a place that basically would be discriminating against gay people. How would we know you're even gay?
So basically, the argument.
But D'Artagnan, that's why I asked you just for kicks, just for, you know, and giggles. What about gay people that can't hide, that are pretty clearly gay? Which, you know, I mean, I think.
Right. I'm talking about the thing is with being a brown person. You know, basically, it's there in your face all the time, and when you're because you compare.
But I don't know what your argument is. So you're saying it's okay.
You compare being gay to being black.
I don't think it's okay
equal.
To discriminate against anybody is my
okay,
point.
The reason it's a sound comparison is because it is not a choice. And whether or not you are quiet about who you are, whether or not you are a black person, for example, in the 50s who could pass for white but had to pretend not to have black roots to get a job or to maintain your housing or to be able to live with your partner was a violation of your equal protection under the law. And the same thing applies to gay people. If someone in that circumstance has to lie about who they are or hide who they are not afforded the same protections as every other human being in this country. And we are that kind of country. That's what makes us special.
D'Artagnan, thanks for good points though, and you hear them before. I no, that make you know it's interesting. Speaking of racism, that when you talk about being able to hide, even as a mixed race, or you know, one, my best friend years ago had her husband was white, so her kids did look. You couldn't. She literally had. She told me once she had people in the supermarket ask her, "What are they?" Meaning, but again, it's just, I mean, of course it's inherently awful and racist and mean to say that, but it was, but it's like, that, that's part of, they meant well.
The essence of it being, that, that whole argument, though, is a, is on a certain level atrocious, because it means that you can, you should be afforded the same rights as other people as long as you pretend to be like them.
Yeah.
And that is anti-American. That's un-American at its core.
Yeah.
That,
I love I love even the question, what are they? Like, and then when you tell me, I can decide which,
whether or not
to
be, I will
how to discriminate
nice to them.
Against them.
I think it might have been innocent. You know, they just wanted to
I meant what his argument was, not the kids.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I
meant, no, they meant are they black or white? You know,
well,
yeah.
Or some mixture of.
I was still referring to the fact that, like, gay people should can hide who they are and black people cannot. That's that. And I mean, that's like, we shouldn't allow people to have the same First Amendment rights as each other. If you say the wrong thing, then you can avoid that by stop saying that. It's absurd.
Yeah. Steve in Kent, Washington. Hi, Steve.
Oh, hey, Stephanie. Hey. I love your show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, until you're denied of it, I guarantee you'd be miffed at the if the show went off the air if your oxygen was cut off for any short amount of time. It is an amazing show, though, I will agree.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
You're probably right, but okay. I wanted to call to comment about that guy who said that he had a friend who got kicked out of the Army for making a racist joke.
Yes. Not that sure guy, if that story is authentic or not.
Oh, that guy was lying. Are you kidding?
Yes.
They have so many other ways to punish people in the military. They put them on latrine duty or whatever.
Right.
If they could get kicked out that easily, people in Afghanistan would be leaving in droves. All they'd have to do is just make jokes, and they'd get kicked out. That's ridiculous. Which brings me to my larger point that Republicans, I shouldn't say Republicans, conservatives are evil. They lie all the time. They have no problem lying. They're morally weak. I argued with somebody who was protesting, I was protesting Glenn Beck when he came to town, and they said, and I said, why do conservatives hate Muslims? And she said, oh, I don't hate Muslims. I've got a good friend who's Muslim. And I knew she was lying. We're almost 98% white in this community.
No, I hear you. Oh, no, she did not. She didn't go to the best friend thing, did she?
Some of my best friends are Muslim.
Yeah. And by the way, not all conservatives lie. Just a larger proportion than usual in this particular election cycle. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, we continue more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me lose my cool. Up in
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. If any of you are wondering, will the Republicans play politics with any with everything?
Computer says yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, they will.
What have they done now?
No, just even
nice things.
Even exactly. Even on this Don't Ask, Don't Tell, a move to strip it from the Senate defense spending bill they're saying would almost certainly fail, but with the White House under intense pressure to sign the bill, Republicans will likely try to use it as a vehicle to force Obama to accept other measures he opposes, such as funding for controversial weapons programs that we don't need, that will bloat the deficit, or
but
ban on transferring Gitmo inmates to the U.S. or other countries. I mean, it's just... They literally will just hold everything hostage to getting what they want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
the irony being, by the way, that they are going to one of the things they do want to add is a couple of these weapon systems that nobody wants. And the Tea Partiers are already balking at the idea of raising the debt ceiling. And one of the cuts that they supposedly support is defense cuts. And so they will be fighting in their own caucus about things that they they crowbarred the president into adding so that he could get Don't Ask, Don't Tell in there, and then they're going to try their own party
members are going to try and pull it back.
And I know the president, obviously, having a meeting, trying to be conciliatory yesterday. I'm sorry. They are just wrong on everything. I've never seen a time in our history when I feel like they are just wrong. It's like the debt ceiling. Yes, many of them willing to shut down the government. They think that's a good solution.
Right.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I'll tell you why. Because it's a branding thing as opposed to an actual policy.
I mean, their priorities. Yeah. Literally, it's like, who cares if the world's going to blow up because nobody's checking the nuclear sites? We need to make sure rich people get their tax breaks and gay people can't serve in the military. I mean, it's just, it's stunning to me. Stunning. Sorry, what were you saying?
No. You're absolutely correct.
Well, Valerie Plame was for preventing nuclear holocaust, so that must be the wrong thing to do.
Yes.
Obviously. Yeah, and don't even get me started on that, Jim. I mean, if you just saw Fair Game, it's like, what, they want to invade a country to get the guy from WikiLeaks?
Yeah.
Suddenly they're just, it's treason, whatever, and when we were doing it to one of our own undercover CIA operatives, as Jim said, who was in the process of...
secure loose nuts.
Yeah, that wasn't treason then.
Glenn Beck has been going off the last 2 weeks about the perfect storm that's gathering, and that the you know, this is it. This is time. It may be time to get in the bunker. And you know what he said that the linchpin was? This is the final straw. This is how you know totalitarian, the Armageddon is on the thing. The Food Safety Bill and Modernization Act passed. That's what they're. That's the biggest. That's the sign that Obama is a totalitarian, is going to run us over with martial law, because now the FDA has the ability to start recalls at the actual factory they start at instead of doing volunteer ones. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Instead of doing volunteer ones or standing outside of grocery stores handing out leaflets going, "Don't eat the chicken." It's so.
You have the right to unknowingly
listen,
poison yourself.
Listen, I support...
Yeah, right.
The government cannot tell you...
That's
you
what the free market is about.
I
the ability,
support
exactly.
Glenn Beck's freedom to eat, you know...
Tainted chicken.
Exactly.
Right.
And I wish he would. Oh, I can't.
No.
John in Gilbert, Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller. I listen daily on satellite since there's no progressive stations here around Phoenix.
Yes, there is. We're on in Phoenix.
KPHX.
Yeah, KPHX.
Pardon me?
We're on KPHX in Phoenix.
Oh goody. Okay, I'll have to remember that. But I do have a satellite, and that's where I listen.
Okay.
I have three children in the military, two sons and a daughter, two Navy, one Army, and all three of them are totally unconcerned. They're fine with repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It has never been an issue. The only one who had a mild concern, it was for the safety of people who work for him, being a supervisor. My oldest son has been in the Navy 14 years, and he's sort of concerned that it may bring out some hidden prejudices against the people that work for him that you don't see right now. And that's his only concern.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a legit one, because
who serve with him.
The same thing occurred when blacks were able to serve equally and alongside white troops. There was that transitional period, and I think that's what Gates is talking about when they want to implement it properly. But the choice of implementing it is no longer really an issue across the board. It's just how to do it well.
Yeah, I mean,
so
it's
excellent
just
point.
Hal, it's the point you were making about... Mm-hmm. Who our caller was that said, oh, that's just the way kids talk if they say the F word for gay man. It's like, no, this is where we draw a line in the sand and say, no, this is not okay.
Yeah.
Homophobia is not okay in the military or, with your teenage
kids.
And
also going back to that, like somebody in the chat brought up a really good point, was that Jews could hide who they are, too. They could pretend not to be Jewish.
Like Heinrich.
And get, you know, live and get housing and a job.
Yeah.
But... if they don't, then they get fired or they lose their house. It's not freedom.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
So people can just buy your voice?
Things it's been dragged into.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Barry in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Barry.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby. Go ahead.
Listen, this is just, it gets to be too much after a while. They throw so much crap against the wall that it's just, it's one thing after the next. It's one lie after the next. It's hard to keep up with all this stuff. And one of the things I've been thinking about is I'm afraid that the Republicans are going to use extending the unemployment benefits as a hostage to get their way about extending the Bush tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see the president call their bluff and make an argument to the American people. Let them know what these creeps are really up to, what they really want to do.
I mean, that, you know, and again, this shouldn't be a partisan thing, should it? I mean, we have never not extended unemployment benefits when unemployment is this high. I mean, what kind of human thing is that,
it's
right before Christmas? You know?
And these people who pretend to be good Christians are not following Jesus Christ. That's for sure. I'm not even a Christian, and I know that what Christ said.
Yep.
I think.
Thank you.
And oh, yeah, by the way, John McCain, total hypocrite.
Yeah.
Nothing's ever good enough for this ass hat.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Good call. Yes.
Bag of ass hat to you.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me that, by the way, the these folks, by the way, come from a new modern evangelical movement, a lot of them, that actually believes that God rewards the righteous with money. So they, to some degree, think that if you are in a situation where you need unemployment this long, there's inherent sinfulness
to you. Something wrong
with
you, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that you this is just God's plan for you.
Yeah.
That you need to learn to be broke for a while, so, and your kids need to grow up hungry. Because the factory that they helped get moved overseas eliminated your job. But anyways, the issue being is that they don't have – that moral compass isn't out of whack for them. They actually believe that this is God's punishment for you, and you kind of deserve it. So
the president had a little meeting yesterday with the boner and Mitch McChinless.
The boner.
Boehner.
Boehner. I'm trying to pronounce it properly in its original.
He made a strong plea to Senate Republicans to permit ratification of a new arms control treaty with Russia by year's end. That might be just a little bit important. You know, the whole, is Ronald Reagan spinning in his grave, Jim, or what do you think?
Yes, I am.
Zero nukes, you asshats. What? I said trust and verify.
Why would we want to look? Why would we want to keep track of loose Russian nukes? Why, I mean, I don't get.
Why is that important?
I mean, that's
Russian
a way,
loose women. That's so.
What do Russians do with their tax dollars? You know, why am I, as an American, what do I care?
I don't know. It seems like a good idea to me. The treaty would reduce the limits on strategic warheads held by the U.S. and Russia to about 1,500 for each country from the current level of 2,200. Would establish a system so each country could inspect and verify, trust and verify.
Oh,
remember
that?
That
sounds so familiar.
To the other's arsenal. We're not doing that right now because the Republicans are obstructing it.
Who the hell are these people?
Okay.
I don't recognize them.
Exactly. The president on his meeting yesterday.
I thought it was a productive meeting. I thought that people came to it with a spirit of trying to work together, and I think it's a good start as we move forward.
Good start?
Get it?
Ah! It's subliminal.
Yes. Whack-a-doodle.
He said the American people did not vote for gridlock. They didn't vote for unyielding partisanship. They're demanding cooperation. They're demanding progress.
Yes, the American people spoke loud and clear. Flurn! Gark!
It's loose nukes. I mean, how can you politicize the... I mean, obviously, they don't want us to diminish our number. This is what their big problem with it is, that we're going to go from 2,200 active nukes
so
to 1,500.
Blow up everyone on the world, you know,
15 times over, instead of 10, right?
Yeah.
We need redundancies in case our redundant missiles are blown up by their redundant missiles. Don't you know,
Mr.
Jim?
President, I'm not saying we wouldn't get our hair mushed. I am saying 10 to 20 million dead tops, depending on the brakes. Bucky will be there before you say blast off.
The definition,
blast off.
This isn't the definition of a national security issue. I don't know what is. Republicans, of course, led by John Kyle, have rejected the president's contention the treaty must be dealt with during Congress's lame duck session. It's like, well, that's not important.
Oh, that's too soon. That's too quickly. Because it might pass, and we hate that.
Arguing the Senate has more pressing business. Is there more pressing business than us getting blown up by nukes? I don't... okay.
Maybe they don't understand the concept of loose nukes and who has them, who gets a hold of them, and to what end.
And by the way...
I love this. Lindsey Graham indicated the administration and Democrats may have to scuttle issues popular with the liberal base in exchange for the treaty.
Right. Yeah, that's what we're
doing. Okay, that's so...
What do you mean? Medicare and Social Security?
Yeah.
The, Here's the thing. You know what would really help this issue? Honest to God, what would really turn the issue around, and I'm speaking directly to the White House and the press secretary, Robert Gibbs, a small geography lesson. Because once people realize how up against, like, butted up against the Middle East Russia is, and where the Caucasus Mountains are, and where Afghanistan is in relation to Russia, then suddenly they might understand why the ability to drive 50 miles into Russia, pick up a nuke, and an hour and a half later be in the a Middle Karachi. Eastern country that we're at war with is very easy.
You know, anybody at this point that says the president is not trying to reach out, the one thing did make me cringe. Is Boehner said he credited Obama with opening the session by saying he had not reached out enough in the past to Republican leaders.
He needs to grovel more. On your knees, slave.
Yeah, you're onto something, Jim, because that's what they mean. When they mean reach out, they mean literally to fondle. Like you are reach out to cradle. This is not about conversation. This is about our way or the highway.
Yes. The president yesterday.
We should work to make sure that taxes will not go up by thousands of dollars on hardworking middle-class Americans come January 1st, which would be disastrous for those families, but also could be crippling for the economy. There was broad agreement that we need to work to get that resolved before the end of the year. Now, there's still differences about how to get there.
No, I don't understand. The tax cuts for billionaires are set to expire on December 31st.
Yes.
The president doesn't have to do anything to make that happen.
Yeah.
He has to specifically do something to prevent that from happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, because they're going to expire on everybody, though, and he's trying to... Yeah,
he just wants to
problem.
Extend the one.
Well, so you get new tax cuts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is
tax cuts.
This is really what the
Let
plan...
Let the old ones expire.
Yep. And introduce a bill, you know, through... Somebody in the House that's a middle-class tax cut that actually does just that portion of it.
Yeah.
Separately. Let it die on the vine. And it may happen anyways because if they can't get...
That's a good political strategy now that you guys are saying it. Yeah, let these all expire.
Yep.
But then in January, go, you know what? Job A is to give the middle class a tax cut. Yep. Let's pass the Obama tax cuts
will
now.
Demand that you extend the idea of middle class up to $1 million or something.
Right. I tell you what.
Which may be...
Do it to $500,000, and the American people will go, okay, I'm with that.
Right.
I guarantee it. And it will not affect, the percentage difference will be extremely minor, and the people who would be affected above 250 to 500 will, in their corporate taxes, it'll be almost unnoticeable to them.
By the way, so remember when Boehner, before the president even came and talked to them about health care, said we're all going to vote against it? So this is, you know, and if you need another sign that they are not going to do anything to help the president on anything, Boehner and McConnell wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post before this meeting, saying despite what some Democrats in Congress have suggested, voters did not signal they wanted more cooperation on the Democrats' big government policies that most Americans oppose.
The voters
most Americans
said...
are with Democrats on most of these issues. You know, I mean, it's they don't want it. Tax cut for the rich. I mean, go down the list. They want Don't Ask, Don't Tell overturned.
In the fall, they said, "Ah,
yeah. right." Poll after poll shows that they were not voting on plus towards any of the Republican issues at all. They were just, in some cases, they were opting out or they were voting just kind of balanced issues. Like I think there should be a Democrat, Republican, blah, and they just flipped a switch. The same way they do almost every.
And the
midterm elections
are just voting based on unfocused.
Yeah, we've
rage,
had three wave know, elections in a row. We're schizophrenic, if anything. Mm-hmm. Mike in Dayton, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mike.
Hi, thanks. I'm a new caller here. Listen to you on satellite.
Thank you.
Talking back on Don't Ask, Don't Tell as a vet. It's one thing. It's kind of sad in a way that we had two Democratic presidents that didn't have any military time because they don't quite understand the military mindset because, especially with Clinton, before it became enshrined by Congress, if he'd have said, this is the good and right thing to do is to not to allow gays to serve. And one thing, too, is it's realistic with the fact that you've had gays probably serve in military almost forever.
Almost?
Yes.
Serve right.
Yes.
Right. Serve well and everything.
Yes. But, gays were not just created this year.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, honey. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's stuff that you know, I'm reading what, for those of you that don't know what the START Treaty is, I mean, it's the kind of thing you go, we can't agree on even this. The treaty calls for the destruction of hundreds of old nuclear weapons, relics of the Cold War, and the system for each country to verify that the other has reduced its stockpile as promised. We are forfeiting our right to check their nuclear and arsenal for these Republican demands.
And also,
the timetable Kyle laid out would leave little, if any, time for Harry Reid to seek passage of other items, including ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And to me, those are twin critical national security issues. You know, is not continuing to discharge, you know, Arabic translators or whatever from the military and verifying nukes.
Right. Well, in essence, you've got, 2,200 nukes right now. Probably about 1,000 of those are in constant state of disrepair. Like, they're older technology, they haven't been rotated mm-hmm. through, but they're kept as a redundancy. And so you've got teams of soldiers, and their entire job is to sit there watching a nuke that's never going to be fired, and if it did, it would probably it would react much like a bunch of tin cans thrown into the sky.
And but, try to you know, maintain it so it doesn't start
leaking,
falling apart,
totally.
And leaking nuclear.
Or it can't be stolen, or
The president.
We agreed that there must be some sensible common ground.
I'm guessing that common ground is that he can kiss their ass. Is that
That's the common ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, the sad part about it is when you've got Blue Dogs operating as such. You honestly have to. You are going to have to find that for some of these votes. That's the sad part about it. It looks like ugly politics. It looks, you know, this is the sausage making everybody complains about. But, you know, if you're having this much wrangling over defense authorization bill,
you're
having to crowbar this much to get Republicans on board to sign off on a defense authorization bill.
Mark in Columbus with a Don't Ask, Don't Tell question. Hi, Mark.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, since you played these Obama clips here real recently, I was really disappointed yesterday in his lack of fight and the notion that he trusts those three snake oil salesmen is just craziness. But
Mark, here's the thing. On that score, and Hal, you correct me if I'm wrong. How is the president supposed to act, particularly
I would change the messaging and the strategy stuff to get a lot more aggressive. I'd start calling it the Cat Food Commission instead of the Deficit Reduction Committee.
There's actually a movement to do that. There's actually a committee calling themselves. They're trying to get a meeting and actually floor the idea. The Cat Food Committee, for an extension of unemployment benefits and the like. There, on the Democratic House side, that is actually happening. The problem is the president has to act as referee in most of these things because all these bills, he can only sign what gets to his desk. And what gets to his desk is pushed through this bottleneck in the Senate that's so jammed up right now that his only choice, he can't hammer it because those guys will just, they're already locking their, dragging their heels. They're already pushed, they're not making any movement. So if he comes out and says, I'm going to show you guys what for, then what they'll do is they'll offer endless amendments. That's why, by the way, why the filibuster? The issue where people are like, they threaten the filibuster, you should just make them filibuster.
Right.
Okay.
I think what I'm more interested in what he actually does, and that's what we're talking about. Well, my point is
86% of the things he campaigned for, he's already done.
The base
done.
Wants him to talk tough. I'm like, I don't care about, he's not going to come
Get
out after
done.
An election and go, screw these holes. Like, he's the president.
Right.
So Robert Gates has to say stuff like this.
The president acknowledged that he needed to do better and acknowledged that, rightly, that he would do his part.
Ugh.
David Axelrod sort of echoing that as well yesterday.
This is a highly politicized town, and in some ways, I always say every day is election day in Washington. But I think there is a sense that we got to put some of those things aside for a while and get the work done that people expect to get done.
Read the comic This Modern World by Tom Tomorrow. The new one is called The New Bipartisanship.
Great. Yeah, he's great.
You can find it on Truthout or I think Solana.com.
We'll play some of the bipartisan outreach that came from the other side after the break. 48 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ongoing train wreck aside, I love this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. What are you boys giggling about over there? Wednesdays, I become Sister Mary Oliphant.
We're just playing with the camera.
Yeah, we're just camera stuff. It's okay. It's fine.
Okay.
Just okay. So people don't drop their iPhone trying to use my app with, well, I have Jim on camera because like, I can't turn it far enough to get him right.
Jim, what do you call it? Hal and I supplied the softcore porn for the Halcam earlier in the show, and now Jim gets here. It's become hardcore. Now it's just boy stuff. Just Beavis and Butthead.
awesome.
Let's go to Jeff and Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good. I'm commenting about the don't ask, don't tell policy.
Yes.
I'm gay, have issues with this, obviously. Come from a really strong military background. Like Admiral Nimitz was my great uncle.
Wow.
Yeah, and it seems kind of ridiculous that I wouldn't be allowed to serve. And it seems like a lot of that comes from a fear of, like, gay sexuality as being a threat, you know?
Right.
And I'm looking at this OkCupid, this dating website, did a study of their users. And from 4 million searches, only 0.6% of gay men have ever searched for a straight match on there.
Right, right.
Only
0.1%
of lesbians.
Yeah, that's the biggest misnomer. People are attracted to everybody of the same sex if they're gay.
It's also well within the joke margin. Where you actually go, let's type in some straight people just to see what they look like. I mean,
that's
enough.
Of homophobia is based on flattering yourself too much. It's like, you know, that all of these straight guys assume that every gay guy wants
them,
I think
a lot of guys are afraid that it'll rub off.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
I haven't done theater since I was 14. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Rub out. That's a whole different thing.
It's the idea that it's contagious. And kids, having been on Queer as Folk for five years,
it didn't take.
Didn't take.
They tried. No, boy, did they try.
I'm here to report to you that it is not a choice. Because if it was, by the way, I would have taken it. Because it would be a lot easier, just based on my experience on that show, to, you know. I'd get a lot more action.
There's
no romancing involved.
Yeah. You know, there's some guys watching that go, he sure do look like he likes it. That's why he's a good actor.
Right.
It's called acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
That's acting.
The boner after the meeting.
Boner.
With the president.
I think the Republicans made the point that stopping all the looming tax hike. And cutting spending would, in fact, create jobs and get the economy moving again.
You mean just like it did under the Bush administration?
Totally.
Mm. Oh, wait a minute.
All those jobs that were created under Bush with these tax cuts?
Negative 700 per month.
Yeah.
700, whatever, 700.
I think back to the policies that Bush was implementing leading straight up to the worst collapse of the last 40 years.
Robert Gibbs, by the way, said the president does plan to increase, quote, all kinds of communication with the GOP, including informal phone calls and unpublicized interactions. Yeah. I don't know. What? Pardon? I'm sure Boner drunk dials him now, so I don't know what that means.
I'm going to go with Ustream. I'm going to make the case that they should be Ustreaming these things. That you should all these meetings, unless they're talking about national security.
Senate Republican leaders told their members at an afternoon caucus that the meeting at the White House went well, in part because Democrats didn't appear, quote-unquote, arrogant.
Ugh. God.
Which means Uppity. Having positions that are different than theirs. Yes, and, arguing for their side. Eric Cantor yesterday.
I was encouraged by the president's remarks regarding his perhaps not having reached out enough to us in the last session.
Oh, hush, you twit. See, that's what I mean. Like, even in this meeting, he reached out. They didn't. They didn't say anything conciliatory or even, it just, you know, ugh.
I was very pleased the way the president bent over for us.
Eric Cantor again.
Now, the president, I think, put his best foot forward and says, we realize we've got to produce results.
Uh-huh. And which foot did you put forward?
Yeah.
Just
the
one that you want to break off in his ass? Yeah.
He also, by the way, said, you guys are going to have to produce results in that meeting. And that's why they have what little conciliatory stuff they have been saying has been coming up and why they've been pulling back on their promises to the Tea Party, because they know that they've got politics that they have to do this time around, too.
Mm-hmm. Mitch McChinless talking about fighting for the rich man, as usual.
We did have an opportunity to reiterate that it is the view of 100% of Senate Republicans and a number of Senate Democrats as well that the tax rates should not be bifurcated. In other words, that we ought to treat all taxpayers the same.
But the benefits aren't the same.
That's what we're arguing for, is that rich people pay their fair share.
There is no balance between those two tax cuts, because even the percentage amount affects the lives of those people greatly compared to, how it will affect the upper 2%. It's just absurd. It does not affect their livelihood the same way.
Yeah. Mitch McDonald.
Let's take care of the tax issue. Let's take care of how we're going to fund the government for the next 10 months. And then if there's time left for other matters, it'll be up to the majority leader, Senator Reid.
Yeah, guess what? Who's still in charge? Yurtle. Back in your terrarium. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Toll free, StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. HalSparks.com. We are video streaming there live right now.
Yes.
Hal Sparks, you can see him live if you're here in Los Angeles tonight.
Yes, I'll be at, Borders with Dale Shores, actually, one of the writers of Queer as Folk, who I'll be signing. It's World AIDS Day for most people, if you don't know. And the White House was nice enough to put a big red ribbon on the White House entrance today honoring of World AIDS Day. And so I'll be there tonight at 7 o'clock in Century City.
If you're watching on HalSparks.com, girls, he is even dreamier in person and is causing WikiLeaks around the country.
And he's going to be in Burbank.
You're going to be in Burbank?
Yeah,
when? Where?
This weekend at Flappers, this comedy club. It's new here in town in Burbank, just Friday and Saturday. It's a brand new place, so it's my first time there. Last shows of the year. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Very exciting.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what it's doing. Shall we, kids? Here we go. I think we're about to invade a country to find the WikiLeaks guy.
Mm-hmm.
If the right wing has their way.
Amsterdam.
By the way, FYI. All right. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Burr.
There's also a question of illegitimacy that Republicans ought to raise. Of course, a lame duck Congress has the legal authority to do anything it wants. But it's illegitimate.
It's a
superannuated body. The people spoke on Election Day. They threw the Democrats out of the House. And yet this lame duck session is still run by Democrats. A lame duck session ought to be used only for doing the business of the country that has to be done. For example, having a continuing resolution which would allow the government to actually continue into next week and beyond.
Unless, of course, the Republicans were in charge before they got thrown.
Yes.
Completely different.
And in the history of lame duck Congresses that were Republican, no one has ever said that on the Republicans.
Uh-huh.
They're illegitimate. They're not supposed to do anything. They should just sit there in the fetal position until the adults come in. Sure.
You should do is ignore all the terrorism reports coming out of congressional intelligence committees leading up to when their new president takes over. Because when Bush gets in office, it'll be a lot better.
Yeah, sure. Michael Savage on the WikiLeaks.
Michael Savage was banned in Britain in 2008. You say, well, you don't want to hear about it? You're going to hear about it.
Okay.
How is it possible that the only member of the American media to have been banned from entering England, Michael Savage, banned by the United Kingdom government in 2008, it was originally done, by the way, during the Bush administration, during the reign of Bush. How is it possible that not one email released by these rats in WikiLeaks covers that particular incident?
Wow, me-centric much? How come I'm not in there? That's all I want to know.
Where's my Nobel Peace Prize?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Why didn't I win on Dancing with the Stars? I know I didn't go on, but I should have won.
Wow.
Speaking of nutty stuff on right-wing radio about the WikiLeaks, did you see Peter King, Republican Peter King, was on the delightful Steve Malzberg show? Who I've debated on television many times and who is deeply unpleasant to debate.
When Peter King,
although he's one of those people in person, he's very nice, and he actually, you remember, he asked me for a date before I left New York.
Yeah. Oops.
Oh boy. He's not that perceptive.
No. You know, it was because you were hiding who you were, and that's how.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Peter King told Molesberg, President Obama isn't as upset as he should be over the leak. Don't you always love this? They always want him to, you know, turn green and
be
have
more
his
emotional.
Shirt split off. And yeah. And he came close to suggesting that Obama and members of the administration view WikiLeaks founder, the founder, as some kind of hero. Based on, I'm not sure what. He makes this leap by comparing Julian Assange, how do you say his name, Jim?
Assange.
To Daniel Ellsberg, asserting that Obama's political upbringing makes it difficult to take action against someone who is the logical descendant of Ellsberg.
Good.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yes. Well, an issue involving sensitive documents and an ongoing criminal case, probably not the best vehicle for shooting from the hip, do you think?
Daniel Ellsberg helped stop the Vietnam War. Revealed. Entry into Cambodia and Laos and all the other.
Yeah. But the point is, where does he get that? Eric Holder, the president, obviously is upset. The president, or Holder, has said there, you know, obviously is an ongoing criminal investigation. What else is he supposed to say? All right, Glenn Beck on the TV.
Obama was elected. I told you that the perfect storm was forming, and it was now on shore.
Uh-oh.
I have news for you. I have to update our weather conditions.
Wow.
The storm is here.
Sounds ominous.
The weather conditions are changing.
Oh.
Your friends can keep ignoring all the danger around, but all they have to do is look out the window and see that things are getting dicey.
There's a black
You are beginning
man in the
to
White
see
House.
The start of the perfect storm for America.
With George Clooney?
Oh, that's different. Different thing entirely.
Several years ago, actually. Got to update his Netflix.
I have to pick up something you just said. How is Daniel Ellsberg analogous to this guy? I don't understand how is
Well, in that he's, you know, revealing things that people don't want seen. And so far, a lot of it's been trivial. But he's going to be revealing things about the whole banking scandal. He may be in a position to reveal things about what's really going on in Afghanistan and why we're still there. Really.
Right. But what I'm saying is, so far, I don't see how any of this is helpful, you know, to us or to anybody so far. So I'm just saying I don't get the Ellsberg analogy. And I don't think the president does either, is what I'm saying that Peter King was talking about.
P.S., Glenn Beck has a page on his website, or a specific website that they designed called Perfect Storm. And it's basically just a diatribe of psychopathology, where he's, you know, talking about how it basically an end times kind of a prophecy, whatever. It's just so prescient. It's so right. I mean, this is today's news, right? You can tell so much because he hasn't updated it since 2007, and it's in archive.glennbeck.com. So I think the perfect storm, while beating down on our shores, is also archived in the back of a website that nobody goes to.
Right.
That's good.
All right. Neil Asbury? Who's that?
Uh-oh.
Miami talk show host.
Uh-huh. Really?
He's a radio host.
I'm going to go with opposes the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell on that name alone.
This is a tax argument, Hal, but the only thing I'm going to get mad about is he's some right-wing host no one's ever heard of, and he makes how much a year?
$1 million.
Wow.
Besides being a radio host, I'm an entrepreneur.
Uh-huh.
I have a manufacturing and distribution business. I employ 70 people. We export our products to more than 100 countries around the world.
Oh.
On paper, I make $1 million. But many times I don't feel like I have two nickels in my pocket. Taxing small businesses like me just isn't going to create jobs.
Right. That might be the case. You probably are not affected by the tax cuts. If you have a decent tax, and you don't even have to hide stuff. You don't even have to look for loopholes. If you have $1 million business a year, if that's what he's talking about, and
you have some kind of attorney, attorney for you.
Yeah.
You
know,
if you want to be the next Rush Limbaugh,
at least I feel better about it. He makes some widgets of some sort. I thought he made $1 million from radio.
No, not at all.
No.
Okay. Widgets,
by the way, OxyContin is expensive.
I need to start making some widgets. exporting them. Okay.
That Rush Limbaugh lifestyle is hard to keep up with, you know.
Yeah. All right. Prostitute toe sucker Dick Morris on Hannity.
In the old days, like last cycle, Iowa and New Hampshire would get to see all the candidates first because they couldn't afford national publicity. And they would look at them, they would decide who they liked, who they didn't like, and they would narrow down the field in their caucus and primary. And then we would choose among the top two in each party, basically. Now I believe that's going to take place on Fox News.
Huh?
Oh, great.
What?
Great.
It's the new Iowa.
Fox News is Iowa?
They will appoint the next... Yeah, you know why? Because they ask people like Christine O'Donnell who they want. Who cares who Christine O'Donnell thinks should be president?
Gay marriage should be allowed at Fox News then if they're the
apparently.
New Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, did you see this?
Have lots of corn.
Christine O'Donnell wants Hillary Clinton to run. She said, I hope she runs for president. I'd love to see her take out Obama in the primary. She said that doesn't mean she wants Clinton to become president.
No, of course not.
She said, I love everybody on the Republican side who's even considering throwing their hat in the ring. Yeah, they're all perfect.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd be happy with any candidate who gets the Republican nomination. That includes Sarah Palin, who she says shoots from the hip. And she'd like to see her run against Hillary.
Whatever.
All right.
That'd be a fun debate.
Yes. Monica Crowley on O'Reilly on the meeting at the White House.
What we saw today was a whole lot of nothing. It was a nothing burger. However, when you look at the Republicans, they were calm and they were smiling. They realized they have the upper hand in this conversation, not just politically, but economically as well. Because Cantor and Boehner had big Cheshire Cat grins on their faces. They know that they have the upper hand both politically and economically.
All right.
Because if you raise taxes in this kind
of
economic situation, it's going to be a disaster.
It's amazing that it just I don't know how much spin. Here's the thing. My favorite part of the Republican switchover is yet to come, and it'll be about 3 months from now when they have to raise the debt ceiling.
Yeah.
And all the Tea Partiers who came out to vote for them will see them actually having to do compromise the way we've had people been irritated about Obama having to do it. And if you think we got mad and think that he's being a wimp, they're going to think they're traitorous. These people are going to be calling for these people's heads.
They'll be looking at Second Amendment solutions.
Totally.
All right. That concludes another vomitous right-wing world. 17 minutes after the hour. Back with the latest on WikiLeaks, Celebrity Stack, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the kind of mind-numbing schlock that's turning our society into a cultural wasteland.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh boy. To my
beaches. Yeah, but if you pour sugar on her, she'll go to a spinning class for 5 hours.
Yes, exactly. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. In the midst of the hump days with Hal Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kath.
Hi, Stephanie and Mooks. Long time since I called you, but I have to make a comment about the tax cuts. I definitely do not want the lame duck Congress to let them expire without passing a extension for middle and low income people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do not trust the Republicans ever, long as they're in control, ever to pass something that would help middle and low income people.
You're absolutely right.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's why I think we have to play it politically like that to make it very clear. They are fighting for the top 2%. It's just
always the way
it is.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And this is a call to herd mentality, and this is where they come from is the elimination of the middle class keeps the working class from finding a way to work its way up into the upper 2%, and they're protecting that. They're creating a shield
So yeah, I mean, and the bottom line is, in this economy, the middle class can't afford this.
Right.
Just like, you know, it is unbelievable that they're not going to extend unemployment benefits. Like, what kind of human being are you? You know, people that are out of work, it's before Christmas, they can't even pay their bills.
They
want
feudalism. Mm-hmm. They want living in castles while everyone else is
starving.
Again,
this comes from that mentality they've been talking about for years about how we need somebody to run the White House like a business. America's got to, you know, be run like a business or whatever. Well, you can't fire the poor, and you can't fire kids for being born to poor parents. Yeah. It's just not how it works. And by eliminating those and unemployment benefits, you might be punishing the parents, but you're punishing the children even worse, and you're certainly punishing people who their jobs were moved overseas by large corporations that you actually helped through Reaganomics.
They should be run as well as our businesses, like our banks.
Like Enron. Bank of America.
Sure. Marilyn in Rochester.
Good morning, everybody. I'm here with my dog, Moses, who says hello, and he won't go out and do his business because it's snowing out. But that's not the reason.
Oh, Moses, it's a guy.
I know. He just jumped up, and when he heard your name, Stephanie, he's like, he gets crazy. Anyway, he loves you.
Thank you.
Otherwise.
Thank you, Moses.
I want to comment on the Three Stooges, McConnell, Boehner, and Cantor yesterday after that meeting with the president. Mm-hmm. And Cantor's saying the president has not reached out enough to us.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, I've done massive studies on victims of abuse, and this is classic. Somebody that is blaming the victim, always blaming the victim, and this is what they're doing. And I was screaming at the TV, and, of course, Moses was, like, thinking somebody was strangling me. But that's all I wanted to say, because this is what's happening, and this is how they're getting everybody to turn against Obama. And it's like, okay, he's becoming the victim. They're making him the victim.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just making me crazy. So thank you for
listening. Moses is probably alarmed. He's never seen a man that's that orange.
Thank
he's probably
you.
Not
he
sure what
has.
It is.
He never will.
Is it a man? What is it?
One of my favorite Obama moments was he said, we're both people of color. It's just, I don't know quite what color that is.
Jim was mentioning this cartoon about,
this modern world.
Yeah, well, it's like, I don't know if you saw the thing on Rachel, the How to Serve
Man.
Yes.
Yeah,
you know, it's literally, they come in peace. Look.
We come in
the Republicans come in peace. They want to help me. No.
Computer says no.
No. All right. On the crazy parade, Bush speechwriter, he took the crazy to a new level on the WikiLeaks. He's the one that suggests we need to invade another country to capture the WikiLeaks leader.
Right.
Yeah, the founder.
We're going to Sweden specifically, because that's where the website is housed, even though he moves around all over the place. And
yes.
Nearly
yes. First, Peter King, he declared the WikiLeaks a terrorist organization. Rick Santorum said the WikiLeaks founder, Julian Assange, is guilty of terrorism. A number of Republican lawmakers have called for treason charges against Bradley Manning. Oddly, not against Karl Rove or Scooter Libby. Weird.
Or Dick Cheney.
Former Bush speechwriter and torture advocate Mark Thiessen took the outrage to comic heights on Sean Hannity's show last night on Fox. He suggested if diplomacy fails to capture him, the U.S. should go in and get him, with or without the host country's permission.
What if he's related to Fitz Thiessen, who was pretty much responsible for the Nazi war machine?
By the way, do you have really bad analogies ready? He said we can go in and get him with or without another country's permission. We did it with General Noriega.
And now, thanks for playing really bad analogies.
He killed a lot of civilians in the process.
Yeah.
Yes, it's worth noting that we sent in 25,000 American troops. And former President George H.W. Bush, quote, broke both international law and U.S. government policies in ordering the invasion, which resulted in the loss of 23 American service members, the wounding of another 325, the death of hundreds of Panamanians, and major lasting damage to Panama's economy and capital city. I mean, are they kidding me? We're going to invade whatever country?
A blitzkrieg, wherever that guy is, you know. And if he moves around, we'll invade other countries. And that's what's made all the countries, and, you know, on the chance we'll get them somewhere.
Rebecca in Durham, North Carolina. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello, Steph. I wanted to talk about the toughness of Obama dealing with the Three Stooges yesterday. Yeah, I mean, they came out really tough, and he came out, and he looked weak. And it's not about, you know, it's about calling them out on their lies and their hypocrisy. And I don't know if you saw Bernie Sanders on the floor of the Senate yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel Maddow had it on, and it would be great if you could play his audio, because I think it would make all progressives and liberal people really impassioned and excited because he just took to the floor and called them out and was so passionate about it and his defense of real people who are struggling, like the people that their benefits are running out.
He is tremendous.
He called them out on their hypocrisy.
Every time we have him on, we say if we could have a Senate full of Bernie Sanders.
Totally.
29.
When they say people like all politicians are the same, I'm like, you need more Sanders.
But he's a socialist. Exactly. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That's the smartest thing you've ever said.
Really? What about 3 years ago when I said there should be more TV shows about cake?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Yeah, I will do my Brussels sprouts recipe again before the end of the show if you want. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, look at that, Hal. The best job growth in, what was that?
Three years.
Interesting.
Wow,
seems like
amazing.
We're heading in the right direction. Seems like,
Well, that's because the American people have spoken to put Republicans in charge. That's how it happened.
And their policies have changed America.
Yes, before they even took power.
But, yeah, right.
Dave in Toronto, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Stephanie. Listen to you on KB 1520 out of Buffalo. Still loving you.
Woohoo! KB! All right, go ahead.
First of all, don't ask, don't tell. First of all, let's not be under any illusions that a lot of the people squawking about this wouldn't love to return to the bad old days when being homosexual was simply illegal, and therefore they could keep you out of the armed forces on that basis.
Yeah.
Since it isn't,
Of our conservative Christian organizations are trying to help the nice people in Uganda kill gay people for being gay, which is very nice, very Christian.
This applies whether you're gay, straight, Muslim, Christian, white, black, or whatever. When you serve, you stand ready to protect and defend your country and its constitution. Therefore, your country and its constitution should protect and defend you.
That's right. That's right. Well said. Well said. All right. Let's go to Tim in Madison. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I was just heard this wonderful speech that John McCain made on the floor regarding Russ Feingold now leaving office. And because he got voted out.
Yes, he said he will miss his true friend, Russ Feingold. I have to admit, the Senate will be a much poorer place without Russ Feingold in it. I finally agree with John McCain on something.
I know, that's exactly what I said. And did you actually watch the video at all or no?
I did. Well, you know, what kills me is Russ Feingold is leaving, along with all of John McCain's principles, like McCain-Feingold.
Right.
Exactly. Not only is, you know, it's all his principles, but he was kind of tearing up towards the end, and I actually like the fact that he's tearing up because of the good sparring matches that McCain and Feingold had, but, you know, at least he can control his emotions more when he's making a very, very emotional speech, especially towards a friend. On the other hand, when John Boehner would be up there, he would have been blubbering at the first sentence, and you couldn't understand a damn word he was saying any longer.
Yes, exactly.
And one other comment about Boehner. I seen my Time magazine, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, he is truly orange. It's not the teeth.
Yeah.
It's not anything.
No, it's not just a joke.
He's on. He's orange.
No, he's orange. By the way, Jim, Nancy Pelosi commented on that. She said John Boehner is known to cry. She said, you know what? He is known to cry. He cries sometimes when we're having a debate on bills. If I cry, it's about the personal loss of a friend or something like that. But when it comes to politics, no, I don't cry. I would never think of crying about any loss of an office because that's always a possibility. And if you're a professional, then you deal with it professionally.
I think John Boehner needs hormone replacement therapy. I'm turning into a chick.
I think her implication is he needs to man up. He needs to man up, perhaps, a little bit. She said, I have deep emotions about the American people. If I were to cry for anything, I would cry for them and the policies that they're about to face.
And can you imagine the flack she would get if she cried?
Yeah.
Oh,
you remember, what's her name? Pat Schroeder cried. And they were like, all right, no, you can't be president.
Chicks. You know, chicks when they cry, you know.
Listen, any woman that's ever gotten out of a speeding ticket can tell you how valuable crying is.
That's why you can't have gays in the military, because they'll start crying, and then the women will start crying, and then we won't be able to fight because everybody have tears in their eyes.
I think it's an underused.
They're watching Lifetime.
I think it's an underused diplomatic weapon.
P.S.
You can make men crumble. You can make them do whatever you want.
Yes, I like that John Boehner cries. It shows he's human and he cares about America.
This is the top of our list. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to cry about it.
There's just something in it when he starts crying that I relate to.
I think the top of our list is providing the safety and security of the American people. That's at the top of our list.
Jim Ward.
At the top of our list.
Of course, the drinking maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a great way to hide that you're drunk.
As a famous actor, we've discussed, he does the Cowardly Lion school of crying, which is just,
so let's talk about my tail.
But ironically, he looks like the Tin Man. Yeah. He looks like Jack
exactly.
Haley.
Yeah.
I couldn't give nothing to the Tan Man.
Mm-hmm. Ken in San Diego. Hi, Ken.
Yeah, I got a hypothetical for you. If
Ken, more importantly, have you seen the 10-day-old baby cheetah at the San Diego Zoo yet?
No, haven't been there.
Ah, it's so cute. You got to go see him.
Hey,
go ahead.
If you were a terrorist sympathizer that somehow got elected to the Senate, what do you think would be the most effective thing that you could do to help out the terrorists? That would be to stall the START treaty.
Yes.
Ooh. Yep.
Yes.
And
keep Arabic translators
think,
out of the military, yep. out of the American
I think
military.
Kyle is a traitor to this country. And I think he ought to be kicked out of the Senate.
You do make an excellent point that once you make a policy, you know, a politics decision that affects something so vast, literally driving distance to Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan attached to Uzbekistan. Uzbekistan,
well,
like it's all.
Kazakhstan was part of the Soviet Union.
Exactly.
That's where the city is.
And there are nukes there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Left over from when it was a unified country.
You've got to watch the stands. You can't trust any of the stands.
Especially
the moral
stand.
Just so upset.
I'm sorry, Ollie.
All right, get ready for the joke. Patty and Banger.
Hi.
Banger.
Banger.
I just met her.
All right.
Hello.
Hello, Patty.
I, too, am a happy, clappy liberal.
Yes.
And I want to recommend, I don't know if you've already read it, it's kind of academic, but there's a book by James Kloppenberg called Reading Obama, Dreams, Hopes, and the American Political Tradition.
Uh-huh.
And it validates what I've always felt about Obama, that, you know, he's not just a wimp trying to please everyone, but that he has deeply held convictions, you know, the same as the founding fathers, that a healthy democracy can only exist if we're not absolute in our positions, that our democracy can only progress with reasoned debate.
Well, he did say, that's why there's two parties. I mean,
you know, and experiment, see what proves effective. And that's how democracies deal with pluralism and conflict. I think that he shows a deep respect for the Constitution.
40 years ago, that
and the spirit of democracy it instituted.
But I also think, I do think she's right in that regard, in that right now what the president holds is he could drive the party in one direction if they're willing to take the mantle up. If Reid and Pelosi will carry forward those things, you know, and through the last 2 years, then it's what he would like to do as policy is possible. If they're not pushing it, the only real power he has is veto and executive order.
Right.
Executive order being a temporary and veto being a guarantee of gridlock to some degree.
Yeah.
And if you're going to get stuff done, he's in the most compromised position that he could possibly be in when you've got the Republicans in an adversarial point of view where they're just digging their heels in. They're not going to do anything. And like I said, the issue with the filibuster is really about endless amendments. The reason they don't have to, you can't force them to stand on the floor and do the old-fashioned filibuster is because that's not how they do it anymore. What they'll do is, I'm not going to filibuster.
Well,
what I'm really going to do is just put a thousand amendments in.
Patty makes a good point, but I think part of the problem is many of us have said, these are not your dad's Republicans anymore.
Right.
These are not, you know, my dad and Goldwater's era of Republicans. They actually did get stuff done together. They actually really did.
Right. That's because these rules in the Senate existed, but they weren't acted upon this way.
Yeah. For instance, I think the president is trying, but like, for instance, this, you know, the freeze, the, what do you call it? Pay freeze for
federal
employees.
Yeah,
I mean,
federal employee pay freeze. Right.
It is reaching out. It is an olive branch, but I get it that it's just symbolic. It's a drop in the bucket and it's something that they want, but they're not going to get, they're not doing any of the bipartisanship. They're not, exactly.
Right.
A lot of people using the word triangulation, of course, about the, what do you call it? The pay freeze, his embrace of the politically symbolic 2-year freeze on federal government salaries aligns him with House Republican leaders and in some cases against unions, public workers and leaders in his own party. I mean, I think he's trying to say, look, we all have to share the pain here. So why don't you reach out too? But
he's been reaching out forever and it just keeps getting his hands hacked off.
Yeah. Let's go to Bill in Portland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hey,
Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
You know, all this crying stuff, you know, nobody mentions about the criticism that Hillary caught when she broke down in tears on the campaign trail. And also, they just about negated Edwin Muskie's campaign when he broke into tears. And,
right. Yeah, you remember, Bill, the criticism, oh, it was insincere and just a political ploy when she cried. Like, what? No one says that about John Boehner. He does it every other day. And everybody thinks that's so
authentic. Once, yeah. and it's a crass political manipulation.
If any Democrat does it, then it's...
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Dan in Olympia. Hi, Dan.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
I'm really curious about your Brussels sprouts. I caught just the very end of that, and I really love them, so I want to make sure I get that
right. Oh, yes, I'll do that right after this. Go ahead.
That being said, I guess I'm just wondering why Middle America hasn't taken to the streets in fury and anger. I personally feel like these guys in Washington have been tricking us and tricking us and tricking us here in Washington State and in Washington, D.C. I don't feel like the media is really reporting the whole story, you know, on the Bush tax cuts. We all know that you know, it was a boon for the rich and really didn't mean a whole lot.
Well, Dan, that's what we always say. It's like in this effort to say, oh, there's two sides to every issue, and we'll have to leave it there. This is math. You know what I mean? This is just math, these tax cuts. It's not there's an opinion on this. I mean, yes, there's an opinion about why, but not about the math. I mean, they just, and they keep trying to hold their feet to the fire on that one, but they never get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are these, why do they not have to be paid for? Why do you demand everything must be paid for, but somehow it's fine to add whatever it is, $700 billion to the deficit with this?
Well, their argument is, and their theory is that that's, you don't pay for things, you're just giving money back to people who earned it. You're putting money back in the pockets of these people. And instead of going, the rich benefit from the country and the rules and the legal system and the infrastructure and the commons more than the average person does, and therefore a minor 5% percentage more of payment for those services, considering the benefit that they get, the 95% they get to keep of the rest of that, it doesn't seem balanced enough. These are the people who are arguing for, you know, corporations have the right to get tax breaks to move jobs overseas, right, to house their business in the Cayman Islands, mm-hmm, and to never pay U.S. taxes ever and still be able to call themselves American corporations.
Yeah.
This is what they're arguing for. This is a call-the-herd mentality.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour, Celebrity Stack next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Come on, it's brilliant.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I get it. In honor of my dance-off with Congresswoman Maxine Waters and her husband at my party, which I lost horribly. Give Maxine Waters her due process, for God's sakes. Representative Maxine Waters of the great state of California calling on the House Ethics Committee to schedule her ethics trial before the end of the lame duck.
Yeah. Well,
the trial was set to begin November 29th. Now they're saying it could drag on. She said, as I stated just 10 days ago, I believe this cancellation demonstrates in no uncertain terms the weakness of their case against me.
Mm-hmm. Also demonstrates that the Republicans want to be in charge.
Yes. I mean, Jim, you and I have talked about this. Of course, we don't know all of the details, but you read this stuff and you're going, what? It doesn't seem like there was any benefit. There wasn't. It just mm-mm doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, and you look at me, Tom. Look at what Tom DeLay just got convicted of, and you're like, what? She. Okay.
Well, the funny thing is, they're gonna really try to come down hard on her and stuff on rules that they think shouldn't even exist in the first place.
Right.
That she's not even guilty of violating.
Yeah.
It looks like. So that's the irony is pretty strong. I don't know how you sit there and really hammer down a case and not look political when your next bill that you pass through is trying to rescind those rules for yourself.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Jim, did you see George W. Bush in his little live chat at the Facebook headquarters?
No. I missed it somehow.
Uh-huh. He went to the Palo Alto headquarters for a live Q&A to discuss his book. Talk about Barney. Oh, I can't get enough of the Barney stories. Can you?
Barney. I'm going to tell me bit that fella. Good boy.
Nixon, anybody?
Oh.
Any dog stories from another criminal president?
I still get that headache in my eye just watching him. Just as all his...
Although Nixon looks like a liberal compared to the...
Oh, yeah. Totally.
New
can I have my Hollywood music, please?
A Jew-hating, homophobic liberal.
That, sure.
We're having a controversy out here. We're having Oscar controversy. We're having Oscar controversy.
Are we?
Yes, they've chosen, what's their names? James Franco and Anne Hathaway.
Sure.
Yeah. To host.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who are, could be the two best-looking humans ever.
No, not even close. Startling. But I hear you. They're beautiful people.
But they're a pair of nominees. They might be nominated, so they're saying
awkward.
That that's a casting taboo. I don't know.
So they could award themselves the new awards.
Guess.
Oh my God!
I won.
I'm me. Thank you, me, for handing me this award. That am so proud that I was able to hand to me on this wonderful night that I'm hosting. And thank you,
wonderful me.
So
much.
I want to thank me for introducing me so well. And
yes,
really,
no one in Hollywood would ever want to appear self-involved, would they? That's crazy.
I want to thank me, myself, and I.
Mm-hmm.
And my agent, and me.
Yeah.
Back to me.
The royal eye.
All right. Oh, and Barbara Walters, after the Oscars, is always the 10 most fascinating people. Betty White is one of them.
Sure.
Justin Bieber, Sandra Bullock, LeBron James.
Sandra Bullock?
Uh-huh. Jennifer Lopez, royal fiancé Kate Middleton, the entire cast of Jersey Shore. Oh, and Sarah Palin.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Wouldn't that be great? Because I don't think we've been seeing enough of her.
Yeah. Ugh. She has so much more stuff to say, though, like new kind of insights.
Sure.
Into
sure. Yeah.
I just think she's going to be really horribly overexposed, and not in a good way. You know.
Doesn't matter. They're going to their quarterback sneak is John Thune.
An hour earlier, by the way, Walters is hosting Oprah, The Next Chapter.
Oprah?
Yes. Mm. You get a brand new network. You get a network. Yeah, she was talking about her new network. Okay. Also, you mentioned the story to me earlier. Johnny Depp has has this great story about his portrayal of Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean. He says... Exactly. He said Disney executives... apparently went insane about it. I think it was Mike Eisner, the head of Disney at the time, who was quoted as saying, he's ruining the movie. Upper echelon Disneyites going, what's wrong with him? Is he some kind of weird simpleton? Is he drunk, by the way? Is he gay? And so I actually told this woman who was a Disneyite, but you didn't you know all my characters are gay? Which made her really nervous.
Yeah.
Not true.
Yeah, it's the story of a shipwrecked captain who survives on rum. The root of that legend is that by the way, they found him dead with a bunch of empty bottles of rum. The character that Sparrow is based on, essentially,
right,
died drinking rum. And the idea that he was sunstroked and drinking nothing but rum on a beach with no other food source, but he managed to survive. That's why he's garvly headed, and he based him on the Rolling Stones guitar player. Keith Richards.
You know, I have a related story about my disastrous late night show brought to you by Disney.
Mm-hmm.
No, I actually a female Disneyite executive called me in a panic one night and said, "Did you just come out on the air?" And I said, "No,
what?
No. I was just talking about gay issues like I normally do." Yeah, they freaked out. Just saying, there might be a little, you know.
Did you have an affair with her? How did she know?
I was doing a pro-gay rights issue like I always do. And,
it sounds like they're a little touchy over there at Disney.
Yeah, they're a little touchy, apparently.
They didn't like your radio show either.
No.
Again.
You're fired.
When you're... Again. Nobody cares about heights when they're on the ground floor, you know, but when you're tap dancing near the edge...
In a completely unrelated story about what a loser I am, Ryan Seacrest has re-signed with Clear Channel for $60 million.
Yes.
It's over 3 years, though, Jim. It's over 3 years. So it's only $20 million a year.
Oh, well. Okay, then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do some vocal work over at Premiere every once in a while.
Yes.
And they're kind of nervous over there. Oh, sure. Where's that $60 million going to come from?
Do we have that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
in a related story,
is my job worth $60 million?
Clear Channel has announced that they will continue letting us have food whenever the Rich White Ring host gets his breakfast catered next door. Mm-hmm. We can still have the crumbs and
yes,
and they will continue to stock the vending machines with things that would be there anyways.
Remember when Ryan Seacrest used to do the show from this building? Mm-hmm. I came in with him once in the elevator.
I see him in the elevator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just had to stay the hell out of his way in whichever, you know, parking space his fancy car was going in or
whatever.
You just had to be careful. Okay. Ben Affleck tells Ellen that he shops at CVS for his wife, Jennifer Garner, for Christmas.
No. Well, yeah, because rich people buy each other gag gifts like, look, yeah. I bought you commoner things. Isn't that adorable? You laughed. Remember the other night we were laughing about that there were people who actually have to buy gifts at CVS? And we're like, I'm going to get you one of those. You said, no, you're not. I have two.
This is what the little people do.
Yeah, look at this. So I put on my mustache from that indie film I did. And I put on a hat. And I went down to CVS.
So you were thinking Tiffany's, but no.
No. If you open up the Santa Claus that drops his pants, there is $1 million necklace around his waist. It's fine. It's ought to be funnier.
That's it for us today. HalSparks.com. You can find out all things HalSparksian. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Warden, Miranda Moreno, in for Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.